Awesome. Here we go. Is Chris still there?
Yeah.
Christology Podcast. Chris, that was awesome. Thank you, sir. That was such good teaching. Jude 6, I love it. And 2 Peter 2:4, wow. That is, man, that is deep stuff. A lot of people over here won't preach on that. So thank you, Chris. That was, Pastor Chris, that was so good. So here we are. So glad to be here. So glad to see you all. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we praise your name. We love you. We thank you that we are here today, able to have another day to seek you and worship you and live by your word, Jesus. It's through your word, Lord God, that all things, including us, were created and have life. So that's why we are here, is to receive and reflect your glory. We thank you for that. Lord, I lift up Paradise Church of God, everybody here and that couldn't make it here, and their families. I pray for their provision, Lord, that you bless and comfort them, guide them, provide for them, Lord, and then some. I pray rich, abundant blessing upon this church and everyone here, Jesus, because they love you. In your name, amen.
Amen.
So we're in this, still in Hebrews 11, the second part, verse 21 to 40, basically. And I thought now would be a good time to talk about something we talked about last year, something to apply, and that is inductive Bible study. And that's just doing what Chris was just doing, is looking at what's in the text and analyzing that and talking about that versus trying to pull something out of it that's not there. So we want to train ourselves to do this inductive Bible study, and that's just seeing what is there, and the process is observing, and that's just reading it over, you know, maybe a couple, two, three times, and then we ask questions, and then we research and form conclusions or applications. And I thought to do this because one verse in particular really got me thinking about this process, and it's Hebrews 11:26, where it says, he, talking about Moses, regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And I thought, how could Jesus or Moses have been thinking about Jesus, the Christ, who hadn't even been born yet? And that just got me researching into a lot of things, and I got to say there weren't many answers here on this. So I found a little bit of things about it, but not much, not what I expected I would find. Usually in the sources I look in, there's satisfying answers, but there just weren't here, and sometimes that's the case, that it's a mystery. So I'm going to kind of focus on that and then use some examples. But so the observation is, you know, how could Moses do something for the sake of Christ that, you know, he lived 1400 years before him? My gut answer, and I always use this, what comes to my mind or heart beforehand, is that God is triune, right? He's three, of one substance, but he takes the, you know, three forms: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But still, how could the writer of Hebrews tie Moses and Jesus together? Of course, they are tied together. We know that now. But, you know, looking back at the time when Hebrews was written 2,000 years ago, you know, versus Moses 3,800 years ago, roundabout, that's interesting to me. So, you know, and the transfiguration comes to mind, of course, in Matthew 17, where Moses, Elijah, and Jesus are there in the cloud with Peter watching. So that comes to my mind. And then when I think about clouds and I start to do research, and I see that back in Exodus, it mentions a dark cloud, which was a very fearful thing for all the people. They couldn't handle hearing the voice of the Lord God, and neither could we if that were to happen. unless we had, well, we do have Jesus, but now in Matthew, at the Transfiguration with Peter, they're speaking of a bright cloud. Okay, so the cloud has changed. God so often appears in clouds, and just notice it goes from a dark cloud to a bright cloud. So I think that's interesting. And in the bright cloud, the voice comes from, you know, from God. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And also next week we'll get into chapter 12 of Hebrews, where they talk about the mountain of fear versus the mountain of joy. So I looked ahead, I cheated, but you can see that is where it's going, is the dark cloud, the mountain of fear versus the mountain of joy with Jesus now. And, you know, again, all this is God's covenant fulfillment, his righteousness being shown to us over time, which is transformation. We're being transformed, and the whole universe is being transformed. God's redemptive plan unfolding over time. And when I see things like this, this gives me hope. Things like this gives me hope when I see mysteries in the Bible, things I don't understand. I used to just skip over it because I'm lazy by nature. But now it gives me hope because I love to look into things and study. And hearing Chris talk about, you know, on Jude 6 and Peter, 2 Peter 2, 4, about angels and things that are, you know, just beyond our understanding, that's it. That's going along the path of studying to understand. So I get hope from things like this. And as we know, hope is essential. Faith and love spring from hope. As we're going along, another odd thing I saw is that it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. And I mean, just on the surface, what it says there, by faith, the walls fell. That's saying that the walls fell by faith. Whose faith? You know what I mean? It's kind of interesting there. But even the walls obey God? Yes. Yes, they do. Everything. So I love things like that. We're reminded again in verse 31 that disobedience is unbelieving. Obedience to God is believing. We believe by moving our faith, by accepting with our heart and minds, confessing with our mouth that Jesus is God. And then from there, we move our faith. That's believing. Our behavior follows that. And just another thing before I get into some examples is, I think it's beautiful, verse 38, where they talk about the martyrs, the early Christians who were not just abused, but belittled beyond compare. They were, you know, used in the gladiator games, fed to animals, treated like animals. They put animal skins on them. And it seems to me that when the author says that the world was not worthy of them, that the lower the position in earth, the higher the position in heaven. It seems to me that that seems to be the case. Now, that's very difficult for us to deal with when we're in pain and struggling, suffering here on earth, but something for us to know is that, you know, as bad as it gets here, God is seeing our suffering and he's there with us. So, in my studies, I came to a story in Acts, in Acts 16, where Paul and Silas are in jail for the gospel, and their chains are taken off in the middle of the night, and everybody is released. The jailer wakes up and is going to kill himself because he's failed his job. He knows he's going to be put to death anyways. And Paul stops him. He says, no, don't do it. So the jailer realizes, this is Acts 16, verse 30. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus. They were telling him to move your faith. Obedience always starts with believing and remembering it's impossible to please God without faith, we learned earlier in Hebrews 11. So what did he do? He didn't let his faith sit still. He took action. The jailer washed their wounds. Now this is the jailer. This is the guy looking over all the harm being done to Paul and Silas just for being Christians. He's changed now. He has seen an act of God, and he is, whoa, what do I do? Now he's washing their wounds. He's taking care of them. He takes them to his house. Now think about what the jailer must have been thinking all this time, that it's over. I know if I were him and I was had seen God move and had a change of heart and life and was now believing in God, I would just be thinking that when morning came and I was found out that I was going to be killed, and I, you know, okay. But that had to have been what he was thinking, that he would at least be fired from his job, but probably killed. But no, he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. This is an ongoing process. He had come to believe. He had probably started to at some point, and then he saw all this, and now he was realizing he was coming to believe in God. And he was filled with joy because of that. So now morning comes, and nobody noticed. You can read in Acts chapter 16, verse 35. Nobody even notices. It's just on with business. So he thinks everything's fine. Paul is there, and he goes before the, you know, the powers, and they're released. You know, they're told they can go. But what does Paul do? He moves his faith right back. Very, very bold for the gospel here. And Paul says, no, we're not just going to be released. We're not going to accept that. We want to be escorted out of here. We want to show everybody that we had done nothing wrong. Yes, we're Roman citizens, but you didn't even ask us that, just because we're preaching the gospel. So they were, everybody in this story here was so bold for their faith, and it's beautiful. Then they end up going back to Lydia's house where it all started, and they probably had quite a party. So just love that. So weakness is turned to strength. Back into Hebrews 11, verse 34. Their weakness was turned to strength. And that's what's happening here with us right now in our lives. And I just love the end so much. I call it a surprise. Verse 39 and 40. So that together with us they would be made perfect. The former believers who have died and not seen the promises of God, and us here now. God is waiting. He's going to unite us all together. So the conclusion of the great chapter on faith, Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, results in unity and us being united. So moving faith yields or brings unity. And I've been showing that to my church here, trying to. We see that when we just believe God and move like he shows us, we have unity. The second example I'd like to give is from Esther, the great book of Esther. And in chapter 4, all the Jews are going to be killed, and Esther and Mordecai are going back and forth. Esther is very unsure of what to do. She's afraid to speak up to the king, King Xerxes. But Mordecai says, don't you think that just, you know, you're going to save your own life if you don't do the right thing? And Esther hears him and prays about it. She says, you know what, you're right. She calls for 3 days of prayer and fasting. And she says, after that, we'll make our decision. And that is moving faith. That is Esther and Mordecai moving their faith. So they do. After that, she goes and talks to the king. And read Esther if you have not, please. It's incredible. The tables are completely turned, and the people of God are, you know, looked after. They are used as an example for everybody around. And it just, you have to read Esther, please. If you have not, it's incredible. But such an example of moving faith. And then to tie up here, we want to remember eschatology or end times. Everything, even back in the very beginning of the Bible up till now, is always looking forward of what's to come. If there were five acts in the great play of, you know, or acts of God, we're between four and five. Creation, the fall, redemption, Jesus coming the first time, and then him coming back to redeem all of creation is Act 5. We're between 4 and 5. We're always looking forward, moving our faith. Not that we're sitting back doing nothing, but we are preparing for the kingdom that's to come. We're learning the new language and culture of God's kingdom, our King, who he's coming. And we always want to remember that eschatology of it. And, you know, the point of all that is that if we're not able to have answers in real life, we can make our, just as we make plans and we don't know the outcome, right? When y'all started to build that church, you probably didn't know if it was going to be finished or not, but you started and you trusted. It's the same with that. It's the same that thing that God is asking us to do, to make a start and to roll with it and move our faith one day at a time and trust him and see what happens. In all things, to trust him. So this has been an amazing. I've been looking forward to chapter 11, Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith. It doesn't disappoint. I want to recap all of us to look into the Word of God and see what is in there versus going in believing what we already believe and have been told and trying to pull things out. Look in new, look in fresh and see what we see, because God will not disappoint. His living Word will not disappoint. Thank you. Lord God, I praise your name. We praise your name. We thank you for opening your Word to us, for protecting us, for building the orphanage outside, this church here, for bringing this body together of believers, strengthening our faith together, Lord God. We thank you so much for this, for your love for us, Lord. We ask that we may know you more, Jesus, that we may know you every second of every day. You may walk with us, and we may know you, Holy Spirit, because you are God, and we believe that, and we need you and love you. Lord, please bless Paradise Church of God and all these families here with your love, mercy, grace, abundant riches, that they may live, you know, have life and have it abundantly, Lord God, and just a moving faith that glorifies you to receive and reflect your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. We want to thank the Christology Podcast. We are very grateful. Thank you so much, and thank Lara also and the Trinity Christian Fellowship. We appreciate the love and compassion that you are showing to us in Africa. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church.
Yes, thank you also for the orphanage. You know, yesterday we were so excited. We got Pastor Moses, was very busy with the kids yesterday. We are very grateful for them.
Amen.
And also, we have people who are very passionate about learning about theology, the Christology, and they would love to be in the U.S. Maybe one day you could help a few of us, or a few of them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that?
I think so. I'm not sure if I heard it all.
Hallelujah. So we thank you so much.
Okay. See you, man.
Thank you.
I'm not sure I heard it all, but we can talk later.
Okay. Let me just repeat. I said we got few who are ready to study theology, who are ready to study about Christology in the U.S. I said someday you will help them.
Oh, in the U.S. Yeah. I hope so.
But we have a lot of people also.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.